I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us here on the show is a good friend of ours, Emmy award-winning broadcaster. He writes and he analyzes for Pro Football Focus. And he's been here before championship weekend. He joins us here on the show, Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, good morning.
DA, good morning to you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited for this weekend. I'm hoping we get two really good games here. And championship weekend, there's a lot of juice, all eyes on you. And these two matchups are really interesting. When you look at Chiefs and Bills, do you think it simply comes down to whether Patrick Mahomes plays or not, or are there other forces at work that'll decide this game?
Well, there certainly are other forces at work, but the fulcrum are the real key important factor is the presence of one Patrick Mahomes. This guy is 24-1 in his last 25 starts. I mean, he's incredible. We've seen him even in games where he falls behind. He has that magic where he's like a force multiplier, his ability to bring his team back. We know that he can do that. He can put points on the scoreboard in a hurry. But Josh Allen's pretty good, too, on the other side. And the players surrounding him, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, John Brown, and Cole Beasley, they're pretty good players as well.
They are. Josh Allen's taken that next step this year that many of us wondered if he would ever make. When you study the stats on him, the analytics on him, what have you seen in terms of his growth this season?
Well, his overall ability to just make better decisions, that's led to greater accuracy. You've seen a spike in his overall completion percentage, as well as the ability to put more points on the board. He doesn't waste possessions. And so if you get him in critical moments in the game, he has come through and been able to deliver in ways that he had not been able to do in the past. And so you're talking about the league's second-ranked scoring offense, the third best passing offense, and they're first on third down. So those are the critical areas where you have seen a tremendous spike or improvement in his game.
On Sunday, Andy Reid pulled the rabbit out of the hat, winning that game with Chad Henne and going for it on that 4th-and-1. What do the numbers say on that decision? He was on his own 48-yard line with about a minute and 20 to play, I believe. If you don't get it, you give the ball back to the opposing team on your side of the field, the Browns, and you're up by 5. Did you think it was a savvy move? What do the numbers say about that decision?
It was not just a savvy move, and it was not just a good decision to go for it, maintain possession. You're talking 1 yard. Now, the real critical thing is what do you do in that decision? If you just pound a fullback up the middle into your offensive line, that's where, when we look at these fourth down plays or going for it, it is what you do in those moments, not the fact that you decided to go for it, that makes it risky. And you got to go with a high level of probability, getting the ball out on the perimeter of the defense and getting it into the hands of a Tyreek Hill. Do you like your odds then? Because you're talking about maybe, what, 5 yards. The ball traveled maybe 5 yards in the air. He outflanks the defense. He's wide open. That's like an extended handoff. You or I could make that play. So I think if you look at it through that prism, you see that that play is a high rate of probability. And the fact that if you convert it, the game is over. So, punting in that situation, I think by every metric, it says, okay, you go for it, but now how you really leverage the opportunity is what you do in that moment, and they put on the right play for the right moment.
That's interesting. Solomon Wilcots joins us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio from Pro Football Focus, and you hear him as well on SiriusXM's NFL channel. So Andy Reid always had the stigma that he was too conservative to win the big game. His play calling would bog down late in games. And yet here he is being aggressive, the most aggressive in a spot like that. What does that tell you about how Andy Reid's evolved as a head coach?
He has evolved. I mean, even if you go back to week 6 when they played the Buffalo Bills, right? Remember that game? It was windy in Western New York. I mean, you even saw it in last week's playoff game. The centers had problems snapping the ball and shotgun for the Baltimore Ravens. But that place can be very difficult in terms of throwing the ball. Well, they came into that game week 6 against the Bills, the Chiefs did. They ran the ball 46 times for 245 yards. Since when has an Andy Reid team run the ball like that? I mean, just really take the air out of the ball and get out of there with a win. You can go back to 2017 when Kareem Hunt was on his team, led the league in rushing. They got into a playoff game against Tennessee. He doesn't get the ball the entire second half, DA, and they end up losing the game. So, yes, he's evolved in ways that where he's more balanced and more creative in terms of how can we run the ball to leverage our ability to win. And that's why I think surrounding yourself with really good coaches who are not afraid to say, hey, coach, let's try this. That's what Eric Bieniemy has been for this coaching staff and for Andy Reid, and kudos to Andy listening to, members of his coaching staff to evolve. And clearly they're learning a lot from him, but it's nice to know that he can learn from his assistants as well. And he's become a better coach. And I think history is going to look back on him as one of our truly great coaches.
Is it curious to you that Eric Bieniemy does not have a head coaching job?
Not only is it curious, I think we're beyond the curiosity. It shows that the problem is systemic, they can talk a good game. But at the end of the day, this is not about hiring the best and the brightest. Listen to them. Every time they hire some people, they come out with all of these adjectives and all of these, we want culture, we want leaders of men, we're looking for an offensive guy. You never hear. We simply hire the best and the brightest available. And isn't that what it should be about? The best and the brightest. He coaches a team that's hosting their third consecutive AFC championship game. He's the offensive coordinator of one of the truly best offenses in the NFL and helped groom clearly one of the best young quarterbacks in the game. So now, for whatever reason, it's questioned, well, how much did he really do or how much did Andy Reid do? But no one said that when John Gruden was an assistant for Andy Reid. No one said that when Doug Peterson was assistant for Andy Reid. No one said that when Matt Nagy was an assistant for Andy Reid. The bar keeps moving. The entire puzzle continues to change. And so right now we don't need to scrutinize the pieces of the puzzle. You need to scrutinize the puzzle itself if it doesn't fit. And that's what we're seeing right now. 6 new head coaching jobs, not one. Is an African-American. There's no way you're going to tell me that some of the coaches you've seen hire, every single one of them are better and brighter than Eric Bieniemy. You cannot sell that.
Well, I like how you put that there. You got to fix the puzzle, because I'm looking at these hires and I'm looking at Eric Bieniemy, and all of these guys fit what Eric Bieniemy's template is, and that is GMs and owners are looking for first-time head coaches to stamp culture on their franchises, usually younger side, bright offensive minds, and they don't care if they've never had head coaching experience. In fact, that right now seems to be an advantage to not have some baggage. And you know that with Marvin Lewis. Lewis is wildly accomplished and is not getting the look. So Bieniemy should have that in his corner. There were 7 openings this offseason, and he's still not going to get one unless he gets the Texans job. That, to me, leaves me completely puzzled, because he should check the boxes that all of these NFL owners and GMs are seemingly looking for right now. Does that bother you?
Absolutely. He not only has he checked the boxes, he's checked them multiple times. In fact, he's checked it so much that truly one of the game's great young quarterbacks during the middle of the season went to his owner, says, I want you to at least interview Eric Bieniemy as our next head coach. The period to interview Eric Bieniemy as a number one seed the Chiefs had that first week, that wild card weekend off, well, the Houston Texans didn't even interview him. I mean, this is going out of your way not to hire a guy. I mean, come on. I could tell you personal stories. Eric Bieniemy, I remember he came out of Bishop Amont High School in Los Angeles, California. I'm at the University of Colorado. I asked Coach McCartney, hey, let's recruit more guys from my hometown. I grew up in Los Angeles. I said, we'll win. And I remember when Eric Bieniemy came in on this recruiting trip, I remember saying to him, you come here, you will change this program forever. You could see it in him then. The guy is a born leader. Not only did he come to the University of Colorado, and 4 years later, they won a national championship. He was the fulcrum. He was the guy. We had a lot of talented players on that team. I had left to come play in the NFL, he was back. He led that program. Coach Mack built it around him. He was the guy. Trust me when I tell you that. And he did that. He sustained a long career in the NFL, ended up playing for Andy Reid and growing as a coach under Andy Reid. He has spent time at other places under other coaches and still came back to Andy Reid. The guy has done everything the right way, checked all the boxes that we tell our kids, if you do these things, you too can be successful. And then when you see someone do all of those things and still have the dream deferred, it is highly and very disappointing.
Mm. Good way to put it. Solomon Wilcots joins us this morning here on the show, Pro Football Focus and SiriusXM NFL Channel. In terms of the NFC game, you guys oftentimes study not only the interceptions, but interception or turnover-worthy throws. Aaron Rodgers has been unbelievable this year. Total of 50 touchdowns against 5 interceptions. Is Aaron Rodgers throwing fewer turnover-worthy passes, or is he getting slightly lucky with some passes that aren't simply picked off? Where's his efficiency coming from?
Well, first of all, that turnover-worthy stat, it includes passes that should have been intercepted but were dropped or not caught. If you put the ball on the ground, it's fumbled, and your offensive lineman happens to fall on it, it should have been a turnover, but you were fortunate in some way. But your effort, your energy, the play you made should have yielded a turnover. So that number is baked in right there. And so, no, it's what Aaron Rodgers is doing is simply incredible. He's just playing lights out. And at the end of the day, he is the guy that protects the ball the best. He's not sacked nearly as much. And, yes, he's making far better decisions than any other quarterback in the National Football League right now. That's why it's very interesting, him going up against Tom Brady, truly of the great quarterbacks that make the best decisions when the ball is in their hands. That's why this game is everything. This is a legacy game for both of these guys.
Let's go back to January the 8th, 1989, when the Cincinnati Bengals defeat the Buffalo Bills 21-10. The Cincinnati Bengals would end up going to the Super Bowl that year. Solomon Wilcots, a member of that Bengals team. What is it like when the final buzzer sounds, the whistle, or the gun goes off, and you realize, wow, I'm going to the Super Bowl?
You know, it's one of those moments where you actually sometimes you got to pinch yourself because you're like, okay, never thought that this would happen. I remember it was my second season, just didn't see it happening so quickly because, you know, when you're in the NFL, you're just a week-to-week league. And you just put your head down and you focus on it. But then you go into that championship game, and then when you come out a winner, you know, you beat a team like the Buffalo Bills with the great Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith and Thurman Thomas. I mean, it was a formidable group. You realize 1 minute, what a great opportunity. But the next minute, you know what you're thinking? Better not screw it up. The entire world is watching. you immediately shift to the responsibility of the moment more than the adulation of the moment.
That's interesting. This weekend, we'll see two teams advance to Super Bowl 55. Check out Solomon Wilcots and his analysis of the NFL at PFF.com. Follow him on Twitter as well, at Solomon's Wisdom, for more of that analysis. Listen to him on SiriusXM, the NFL channel. Again, that's PFF.com. Solomon, always great to catch up, my man. You be very well. I appreciate the time as always.
You do the same. Keep up the great work, DA.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Solomon. Solomon Wilcots joining us this morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.